welcome to Cloud Cover 2013. Mm. My name's Nathan Totten, and I'm joined by
Nick Harris.
Nick Harris,
thanks for coming on the show.
Yes, I've been gone for, well, really, I haven't been gone. I've only been gone for one show since I was gone for a month or so. You didn't record very many shows.
Yes, I was actually out in Vietnam at that point
in time. And I was in Europe and some other places. Mm. So yeah, so it's a new year. We have new graphics. People may have noticed on the show. Mm. We have some new background graphics here.
Nate worked very
fancy.
Hard to get them
I in. Did not. Yes. Also up there, there's a new not yeah up there. There's should be a new graphic also. We started putting those on. Where else? We got new logo for our Twitter site. Very exciting. Our Twitter avatar. Okay. We have a new Facebook page. I think 40 people like it. Okay. 30 maybe.
I haven't liked it yet.
You haven't liked it.
I've got to organize.
I think I've invited
to
you
that.
To it. Yes.
I'll create an account.
So like us on Facebook. There's a link down there. All right. Off to a slow start. Well, that's it for today. I think we'll be done. No. All right, where were we? So we should probably cover the news.
Yes.
We've had a lot of news, as I've said. We haven't had too many episodes. I guess, what, a couple weeks ago, three, 4 weeks ago, you covered the Windows Azure Store.
Yep.
Before that, on New Year's, or the 31st, the New Year's Eve, we published the best of Cloud Cover. It was probably the worst of all our bloopers and such for the year. Very short episode, so... Mm-hmm. Good times.
Yeah, that's because we have no bloopers. That's why it was.
Yes, we never mess up at all. So a lot of the store stuff was pretty cool.
Yeah.
A lot of cool stuff with the store. So, but yeah, a lot of actually surprisingly, even though I was sort of the holiday times and a lot of people on vacation, we actually in recent weeks have published quite a few updates to Windows Azure. So we've got a lot of stuff to cover. Scott Guthrie has one of his epic posts. But a lot of updates to Windows Azure. We've got some updates to mobile services, which you'll be demoing later in the show. Like the job scheduler, like sort of the cron job stuff or job scheduling, added regions, things like that. We have, let's see, with websites, we've got some scale improvements. If you're a Windows Azure website developer, you may have noticed that that bar to slide up to do scale actually used to stop at 3. You can go now actually to 12. So you can go all the way up to Windows Azure websites. You can scale up an extra large instance all the way up to 10, or an extra large VM all the way up to 10 instances now on Windows Azure websites. So a big improvement for scale. Let's see what else we have. SQL Data Sync is now in the HTML portal. Some updates to media services, job and task management, blob storage support, a bunch of virtual network enhancements in the portal. Subscription filtering. I wrote a little blog post actually about that. That's one of the things that I really like. There's now at the top right of the Windows Azure portal, wherever you are, you can click and filter by subscription. So like I have probably 6 subscriptions in my portal now. You know, if you want to go and just get like one subscription for whatever you're working on, you can do that.
There's also multi-language support, so they've localized.
Oh yeah, localization. Yeah. Yep, good point. And then the store and did you cover the store now is also available in more countries. I think it's available in 10 countries now.
Yeah.
So basically, as they work out, since they're doing billing and you know, they're charging and billing and all that stuff, we've got to work out like local tax issues. So we're slowly adding more stores, more markets, obviously coming soon. So let's just see, is there anything interesting to look at in here? Here's the instance count, which I said was up to 10. It looks like it's in 6 here, but it is. Oh, it's 6. That's right. It's 6 shared instances and 10. And I believe why it stops at 6, I can't remember the math, but I believe 6 is where it becomes cheaper to have your own reserved instance.
Yeah.
So I don't think we're ever going to have 6. I think 6 is the limit for shared instances, because there really wouldn't be any reason to go above 6 shared instances. Otherwise, you're paying more
for basically less. So it's 6 shared core on extra small, I'd say.
And there's no extra small.
Yeah, it's not Okay.
It's 6 shared cores on whatever our size of VMs are, but it's a limited, smaller recess set, and basically they a resource set. And basically the calculation is for the cost and the resources you're getting. Yeah. If you were to go to 7, it's better to switch to, I believe, a small instance.
Okay.
So,
makes sense.
So that maxes out at 6, and then the other one maxes out at 10. And It's still in preview. I don't know if it'll eventually go larger than 10. I would assume that someday, you know, you'd be able to scale up to like 100 if you wanted to.
Okay.
So you know, if you need to do that, send Nick an email and we'll get that. Yeah. I mean, I presume that eventually it'll go more than 10. But 10 is pretty big. I mean, 10 extra large servers is quite large. Yeah, another thing that's actually really cool in Windows Azure websites is the publish from source control. I think we talked about it a little bit on the show before. Used to be you can now integrate with, you always could integrate from TFS, our Team Foundation services. You could publish to Windows Azure websites, but now you can actually publish from GitHub and CodePlex to Windows Azure websites. So when you check in to, say, a Git repository in GitHub or CodePlex, then it'll automatically push that also to Windows Azure. And we just a couple weeks ago added, now you can do that with private repositories. So if you have an open source project on CodePlex or GitHub, you could have done that, I think, for about 2 months now. But as of just a few weeks ago, you can actually use a private repository on GitHub. So if it's a closed source project, you can actually do your continuous integration. Mm-hmm. And then there's also some new stuff we have in websites that allows you to specify, it's in a different post, but specify startup, like basically specified deployment scripts. Mm-hmm. So a script that runs once the site's deployed to Windows Azure websites, the first thing we'll do is run like a deployment script. So you can actually have run testing or do things like that. So you can actually customize your deployment process. A lot of really cool things. Like I said, portal updates to the HTML portal, Active Directory. You can manage Active Directory namespaces now, so a whole bunch of stuff. We'll put a link, obviously, to that post. It's definitely worth checking out. I mentioned a little bit, ACS is now in the portal, so you can do full ACS and Active Directory management now through the HTML portal. So, cool beans. Moving on. You want to do this one?
Application? You can go for it.
All right. All right, fair enough. We've definitely talked about the Windows Azure Accelerator before. Mm-hmm. So the first class of the Windows Azure Accelerator, the Microsoft Accelerator for Windows Azure, is actually finishing up. They have their demo day in actually about a week on the 17th. Okay. And so we're actually taking applications for now the second class of the Accelerator for Windows Azure. Applications are due on February 1st. We'll put a link to this blog post. But basically, if you have a startup, if you're using Windows Azure, or I don't know if you have to be using Windows Azure now, or if you want to be using Windows Azure maybe, or if you've got an idea, the rules are definitely on there. But we'll put a link. If you've got a startup, it's a great way. You get I believe you get some funding. For a percent of equity, not entirely sure what the mix is there, but you get resources. But the main thing is, you get during the program. I think it's 3 months. You get office space. They have a bunch of mentoring because we've actually done that where you we'll help actually mentor the startups. The context was engineering team, things like that, and then also a whole bunch of free Windows Azure hosting, like $60,000 or something of Azure hosting. So yeah, it's a pretty good program. You've got still a few more weeks, about 3 more weeks before the deadline. So I definitely encourage anyone to apply for that if you're a startup. So Azure CLI. 0.6.9 shipped a number of things. The first thing I mentioned is that custom deployment script. So you can actually, via the command Azure Site Deployment Script, you can create in your website either a command script or a batch script, depending on if you're on a Mac or Windows. And it'll actually run those scripts on startup after the application is deployed. Okay. So in this example, in this post that Glenn wrote, you can actually run, say, like a test, so you can actually make your deployment fail. Mm-hmm. You could do things like have the deployment basically fail, or if a test fails or something.
So if the test fails, will it roll back the deployment?
So it actually, so it actually won't finish the deployment. So it'll never, your site will never like go to the bad, right. the one that you're deploying until the deployment finishes. So the deployment script, like in this example here, the deployment, the test that's run always fails. Mm-hmm. And so when that fails, you'll see here actually there's an error message, commit blah blah, the test failed. Yeah. So it actually won't even finish the deployment. So it'll say deployment failed. So your site actually won't go down or anything like that. Okay. If the test doesn't pass, your site will just stay on the one that's currently deployed and working. Yep. So a really nice way. So it's actually really cool. There's a lot of different, we've talked with Johnny Halife from Murali about how they do continuous integration. And they have a really great setup that has a Jenkins server and things like that, which is, for their type, larger scale application, they do a lot of different integration and testing and things like that. So, they have a really awesome CI process through Jenkins in their deployment, but this actually enables you to do like almost on a lighter scale without having a deployment server. You can actually do a lot of that same type of stuff now just through Windows Azure websites.
Okay.
So really, really, really pretty cool.
Mobile services support?
Yeah, so the CLI now has mobile services support. You want to talk about that?
So you can basically, what you can do there is you can use the CLI tools to create a mobile service, to create tables within that mobile service, to deploy server-side scripts for that, and whatnot. So really, you can automate your entire development process.
Cool.
Now with mobile services.
So can you create the mobile service instance also through the? Okay, so you don't. Yep. You could do mobile services entirely through the CLI without going to the portal now.
That's correct.
Cool. Awesome.
Josh Twist on his blog, thejoyofcode.com. has an example of automating the entire process.
Oh, okay. So we'll have to put a link to that.
He edits everything locally, and he's got scripts set up that'll go and do deployments of anything that's changed using the CLI tools.
Cool.
Really cool.
Sweet. So, and one other thing I also like about the updated CLI is now, so the CLI tools, these are the CLI tools written on Node. They now actually have an integrated setup, so you can actually download the tools and do the installer, which is nice because like if you're not a Node developer, you probably don't have Node installed and you don't really care. You don't want to deal with Node Package Manager. So now we just have a integrated setup experience that you can do like one click, download, install, not a one click installer, but it's a one click experience.
Yeah.
You know, just click install and it'll set up Node, all the dependencies for you, so you're ready to go.
Awesome.
Some additional management for storage accounts, create storage accounts, and service bus also in there. So, continuing with the updates to the CLI, so pretty cool stuff.
Nice. Yeah, so we're releasing a whole bunch of new code samples for Windows Azure Mobile Services. So as you can see here, we've got things like samples that will demonstrate how you can build out geolocation scenarios, scenarios where you might want to take images or video or any binary data, store that up in blob storage. We've got feedback examples, so if you want to capture feedback from your applications, store that on the server side and send yourself an email, leaderboards, and then a whole bunch of samples there also around just the standard features within mobile services being data, auth, push and scheduled scripts.
Cool.
There's a whole bunch of them there. The easiest place that you can get to is going to the tutorials and samples on windowsazure.com for mobile services. We'll put a link there for that.
Okay.
That should be published out there today.
Cool.
Yep.
Awesome.
We'll probably do a demo of scheduled scripts today and perhaps write a scheduled script that polls Twitter and sends a push notification or something.
Cool. Sounds good. Yeah, so today the show we're going to just do, since we do have so many new things, we're just going to, I think, show a few different demos. We're going to show some of the updates with mobile services. I want to show some of the deployment stuff now, the GitHub integration, because I don't think we've demoed that on the show, and I think that's pretty cool, or the Git deployment or the CodePlex deployment. We'll demo with Git. And then also there's some new... some of the improvements with the new the ASP.NET web updates. We'll do some demos with that too.
Okay.
So with that, I think let's move into the demos.
Yeah, sounds good.
And now our feature presentation.
All right, so I think you're going to show us some demos of mobile services. Yep. I forgot though one thing. Today is your birthday. Well, not today the show airs. Today we're actually recording it.
Yeah.
So happy birthday.
Happy birthday!
I got confused because yesterday we had this long conversation where it involved like, I said, oh, your birthday's tomorrow, and then you gave me this spiel about time zones,
yeah.
And in Australia, well, it's a different day. Like,
so technically,
so
it's
I got
today
confused
in
that. No, it's to,
is today it, in Australia,
but your birthday's today.
Yeah, because I was born in Australia today.
On the date of today? No, your birthday's tomorrow. What day were you born? We already had this conversation. What day of the year? What is the number of...
Well, it seems like you're struggling with time zones.
What is the number that you were born on? The 10th. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know what the day is today.
It's the 10th in Australia at the
moment. Okay, but it's the 9th here.
Yes.
Okay, so it is not your birthday.
Yeah, take that.
It's your birthday in Australia.
Yeah.
Okay, so the whole thing. So, yeah. Happy birthday
tomorrow
or yesterday or today.
I thought you had it all figured out.
Right, so what we've got here is we've got the Windows Azure portal, and I've done a bit of sort of pre-setup because I didn't want to take people through the process of registering for push notifications, etc. But what I've done is I've actually run this application. Now, this is the mobile services scheduled tasks demo or code sample that we showed on the code galleries at the end of the news.
Yep.
So this is one of the samples that you guys can actually run and do yourself in your own time, the step-by-step instructions. But what we're going to do here is basically we're going to set up a scheduled script to run within mobile services. So scheduled scripts was the new feature announced on the 21st of December.
Yep.
That script is going to pull Twitter. It's going to pull back updates targeted at a specific alias. And we're going to compose that update as a push notification and send it back so I can see on the tile here updates targeted at, say, CloudNIC
yep.
or NTodden.
So before... Just for those that maybe aren't familiar with mobile services, before this scheduled task, you've done similar type of demos, mm-hmm. but these code snippets, these scripts that you could write would run on events.
Yeah,
so
like
on insert, on delete of a table record, whereas now you can run them outside of the context
right.
of an event. Okay,
yeah.
time-based.
Yep.
Cool.
Yep, so it's really good for performing sort of background tasks. It may be polling a service or aggregating some data, perhaps performing some cleanup on your DBs, anything really that you can think of that needs to happen, in the background.
Cool.
So let's see here. So I've already created a mobile services here. It's the scheduler demo. And within this, I've got one table, and that's my channel table. So that's a pre-setup that I've done. And you can see within this, we've got my channel URI. So what we'll do is we'll create now a scheduled script that's going to send a push notification to that. So in the new scheduler tab here, we can click in and we can create a scheduled job. So if we create...
What?
A scheduled job.
Scheduled. This is scheduled?
Scheduled.
That is incorrect.
However you like it. Okay. And this one here we're going to call check tweet. So there's two ways to run it. We can set it to run on a schedule or we can set it to run on demand. I'm going to start with on demand. So that's, you come into the portal, you run it. Schedule.
And can you, so you can do it, trigger from the portal, can you trigger from the CLI tools also?
I haven't looked at that API yet.
Okay.
In the first release of the CLI tools for mobile services, scheduled scripts was not in there.
Oh, because
it was released before
yep.
that. So
okay.
I do believe that maybe there's an update already though.
We'll have to
for
look.
Deploying at least your scheduled scripts,
cool.
but I'm not sure about triggering it.
Okay.
It's a good feature though. So let's start with on demand here. And we've got this job called check tweet. So that's our job created. You can see it's already disabled. So let's step into this here. If we go to the script tab, you can see that it just puts in a little bit of a console log here. So if we run this, what this will do is this is an on-demand run. So if you want to run it on demand, you just come in and you press run once.
And where does that console log write to?
So that writes to console.logs.
Oh, fair enough.
And you can see, okay, so it has run, and it has run on demand. But what we want to do in our scenario is we want to go and change this such that we're going to do something on a scheduled basis of every 15 minutes. So let's first set our schedule here. We'll say every 15 minutes. You can see granularity-wise, we go by 15-minute increments from 15 through to 120 minutes.
So can you schedule... You can schedule it on increments. Can you schedule it on a particular time also?
No, it's on increments.
Okay.
So, on increments, and you've got you know, you could do it by minute, but you've also got day, month, and hours.
I mean, so if you need to run it once a day, you can do that. But if you want to run it at midnight every day, that's not yet available. Maybe that's something they're thinking about adding eventually. Yep. Cool.
So let's set it to run every 15 minutes here. We'll save that change. And then what we'll do here is we'll go and drop our script in. So typically I wouldn't set it to run every 15 minutes while I'm authoring scripts. I'd typically do that after, but I've got a script pre-prepared, so that's not so much of a problem.
That was fast. Wrote some.
It sure
wrote
is.
A lot of code there.
So we'll make sure this matches. We'll call it check tweet. We'll hit save, and we'll have a look at what the code does here. So every 15 minutes it's going to call check tweet. Now what this does is it just uses the request module. It goes out and it hits the Twitter API to see if there's any tweets with @CloudNick. And we're going to pull the most recent two of those. So once we get those tweets, we parse out the results, and we're going to iterate through those results and just send a notification of the tweet content. So down here you can see now in my send notifications method, we basically pull all the channels from the channel table, we read each of those channels, and then we iterate through the result set, sending a push notification for each of those. So you can see here, in this case, I'm sending a tar wide small image in text 04 at the target channel URI. I'm going to put in the actual profile image of the person who posted the tweet, and I'm going to have the text from that user as well, and that user's name displayed. So that's basically it. So if we enable this script now, what will happen is this will now set this up to run every 15 minutes. And in 15 minutes, we should be able to cut across here to our tile, and we'll see those updates. So let's...
So we'll wait now.
Yes, this is where you do your dance. So we've waited 15 minutes now. If I jump back to my start screen here, we should see, there we go, it's gone, it's polled Twitter. You can see that I've got the top two tweets there, and it's pushed them out as a push notification with the profile image of each user, their alias, and what they tweeted.
Cool.
And that's it.
Very cool. That's quite easy.
So it certainly opens up a whole bunch of new scenarios that people can build out with mobile services.
Yeah.
Just being able to run these scripts in the background, sort of on a scheduled basis. I think it's really cool, and it's a great step forward for people building out their mobile apps.
Cool, very cool.
So what have you got for us?
Not much, really. I'm going to show, I want to show a couple things related to Windows Azure websites. So let's go ahead and set up the computers, and we'll do that. All right, so we've switched places and laptops, and we're gonna do a few more demos now.
I think that side suits you a lot better.
I don't know. I've never been over here. It's a little weird. It's
Isn't it?
Yeah, the lights are different, and the cameras, and I don't know.
So what are you going to demo?
So I'm going to show a couple different things. We talked about some of the improvements with Windows Azure websites, how to deploy from a private Git, GitHub repository, CodePlex repository. So I want to show that. But to do that, I wanted to show really quick something that is kind of unrelated to Azure, but sort of similar, can be used with Windows Azure. So we shipped recently, just actually about a month ago, 3 weeks ago, we shipped an update to the ASP.NET Web Tools 2012.2, another fantastic name for our products. Very easy to get. Very short, succinct name. Service Pack 8. The thing I wanted, there's a number of enhancements for web developers primarily, but the one thing I wanted to show is that we actually have a new Facebook template, which uses the open source Facebook C# SDK that I work on. So the template now actually includes the Facebook C# SDK and helps developers build a Facebook Canvas application using ASP.NET, which then I'll show how you can very easily deploy that application to Windows Azure.
Okay.
So I already have that installed. So let's just do a real quick file new project to see that new experience. So this is an ASP.NET MVC4 template. I'm actually going to store this in, I already created a GitHub repo, so I'm going to store that in cloud cover test. Let's just call that MVC app one. So we create our regular, and so we have this new template, Facebook application. Click OK. And so then we're just going to get a basic face or basic ASP.NET application, but this application is going to be synced or tweaked specifically to be a Facebook Canvas application. All right, so now that our app's created, we actually get this this README text, which shows you the tutorial on how to actually set this up. I'm going to go through this, but for repeating it, it makes it really easy. Basically, just goes through all the steps of how to set up this application. So let's just go ahead and do that really quick. The first thing we'll need to do is actually create a Facebook app. So let's call this Cloud Cover Test. See if I can get the capture right. That one's actually surprisingly not difficult. Sometimes it takes me several tries. Mm-hmm. I can't read very well, so that's part of the try to match the shapes on the keyboard.
Can't read them good.
So yeah, not read so good. So so we've got this Cloud Cover Test app. So our app ID here, we needed to set just a few settings in this application. So in our web config file, our Facebook app ID. Our Facebook app secret, and then we'll also create a namespace, Cloud Cover Test. And then set that as the Facebook app namespace. Mm-hmm. So let me save that. And now the next thing we need to do is enable SSL. All right. So this is actually something that's specific to Facebook. Facebook requires all Canvas applications to have that run. Basically, these apps are running in an iframe, which we'll see in a second. But you actually have to enable SSL on those sites because, actually most Facebook users in the U.S., I believe everyone now is on using Facebook entirely as SSL, and then they're moving to for the whole world. So every time you're on Facebook, it's entirely SSL, which means that if you were loading an iframe that wasn't SSL, it would block it. So we have to enable SSL, which we do that by clicking on the web application project and then clicking properties, and then we can just click SSL enabled true, and so now we have two URLs. So our SSL URL, let's go back to our Facebook application and do web apps on Facebook. So our secure canvas URL is our SSL, and then our non is our just regular URL. So that's actually all we need to do to set up our application. Let's do run that app now. And instead of accessing it, instead of accessing it here, there's one more thing I wanted to change. Let's go back. Go to my properties of my web project. And so actually, we want to instead of running normally, we want to actually run this on Facebook. So we're actually going to run this via HVS. apps.facebook.com/, and this is our namespace, Cloud Cover Test. So let's set our start URL to that, and then let's try it, run it one more time. So this will load it correctly inside the iframe. So now what you'll see here is this is an error. So now we're inside of Facebook, and this is our app in the iframe. You're seeing this error message because I'm running Facebook, actually, I'm running HTTPS on Facebook, and this is just an Internet Explorer thing, show content. So this is because I'm using a self-signed certificate, which the browser obviously doesn't trust. In production, you would obviously use a real, you'd buy a real certificate, and that wouldn't be an issue. So we trusted that content, and the first thing that we're going to do is when that app loads, we're actually going to be authorized to, or we're going to be prompted to authorize that application. So we're going to go to that app, and we're not doing any special permissions right now. We're just giving it our basic information. Let's go to that app. And then you'll see we have this really really simple template here. So now we're authorized actually to view the application. But now we've done some customization, which I'll show in the template, where we're actually taking the user to a page that says, you know, to use this application, you actually need to give us your email and your photos, because that's actually it's going to show some photos. So let's reauthorize that application. This is for kind of a demo of the template. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you wouldn't want to go through. This is good practice to actually tell someone, like, to only request a minimal amount of features in the permissions on Facebook in the beginning, and then ask for additional permissions later as you need them. Okay. The template kind of shows you how to do this. The first time they're authorizing, if you have to have their email address, you'd probably want to ask that right away, the first auth. But this is like, you know, if you have an application that maybe it's optional to give them their photos or something, it's better to ask those in bits and pieces so that you don't scare people away. Mm-hmm. If you ask for too many permissions right away, as you've probably seen authorizing a Facebook app, if it asks you to do, you know, to have everything, full control over your Facebook account, you're maybe not going to authorize that app. So this way we're saying, you've authorized this app, but we need to get a few more permissions for you. So now we're going to click authorize this application, and it's going to ask us for our email and access to my photos. So I'll click allow. And then we're going to go back to this app. And now we're actually going to see a really nice template that we've already got set up. I was supposed to change that to fluid so it looks better. My bad. You can do either, but that makes it so we actually take up the whole space of the application, so this should look better. Yeah. So now we've got the full space, so our template looks a little nicer. Yep. And you'll see here now that we've authorized the app, we've got my email, my name, and some photos of me, and some photos. I think you're not in any of these photos.
It's okay.
Surprisingly, we spend so much time together. You would think you'd be in. There's Johnny. Some build photos we have here. Yeah. Johnny and I working on something for Build, so fun stuff. So yeah, so basically that's a really simple Facebook app. We've got some of my friends here. The template makes it really easy to get started. I'll show just a little bit of code on kind of how that's working. So one thing you'll notice here is this Facebook authorized. So building this template, we actually stuck with some of the common conventions that ASP.NET developers are used to. So normally, for security, you would have an authorize attribute to only allow, you know, people with certain roles. So we did kind of the same thing. We have this Facebook authorize attribute where you can specify which Facebook permissions are required.
Just zoom in a little bit there. There we go.
So yeah, you can see which Facebook permissions are required. And then we also made actually using the Facebook C# SDK really easy. Mm-hmm. So we have this Facebook context, and using context.client, this is actually access to the Facebook client, which is the main class of the Facebook C# SDK. And then you can do you can request anything from the Graph API. And this client is actually already set up with the access token for the user, so it makes it very easy to query Facebook. You don't actually have to worry about this template gets you started. You know, gets you to the point where you can go from just what I showed you here to querying and interacting with Facebook, posting their wall if you have the permission. So a lot of really really easy stuff. So let's go ahead and. So now we've got this application set up. I don't want to spend too much time going in, although there's more to this template, and it's pretty cool. Definitely encourage you to check it out. But let me now. I want to just publish this. So let's publish this up to Windows Azure. So I actually already saved this application into a folder that I happened to create before. That's a GitHub repository. So I've got my application in here. So let's go ahead and actually just let's set up a Windows Azure website that's set up to automatically to do continuous integration from GitHub. So let's go back to our Windows Azure portal, and I'm just going to create a new website. Quick create. Let's call this Cloud Cover Test, and we'll just do East US and use that subscription. Click Create Site. Now it's your turn to dance. Dance! Your dancing was much better than mine. So let's click on that site we just created and click on that guy. and publish your app. Set up Git. So we're going to, instead of downloading a published profile, which we've shown a bunch of times on the show, we're going to set up Git publishing.
Mm-hmm. So this is the new functionality released?
No, so this we already, this was actually already available, this Git publishing. So this functionality was already released. This is just our Git publishing. So what you could do before is actually push your using Git push directly to Windows Azure websites. Right. But now we have a new step where we can say, I actually want to deploy this from my CodePlex project or my GitHub repository or Bitbucket. I forgot it. We actually added Bitbucket recently too. So deploy from GitHub. So the first thing we need to do is authorize Windows Azure to have access to our GitHub. It uses OAuth to authorize to my GitHub account, which I've already done, so it's not going to prompt me. And now it's going to retrieve a list of all of my GitHub repositories. So this will take a while because I have a lot of them. So we want to find all kinds of things. So we want to. So we're going to select Cloud Cover Test. And so now I'm going to set this to set up the Cloud Cover Test repository to do continuous integration. So whenever I push to GitHub, it's going to actually deploy to Windows Azure websites. And let's go over and look at what actually happened here. So this is our Cloud Cover Test. Let's go to Settings. And because we authorize Windows Azure, it actually set this up automatically. So it actually set up a webhook URL. And you'll see that what's happening here is there's this URL GitHub notifies, pushes to this URL every time a push happens to this repository. Yeah. And then Windows Azure websites deployment is actually going to do a pull from GitHub directly and then deploy to Windows Azure websites. So we've got that all set up. Now let's actually just push our changes up to GitHub. So let me change that directory, git add. Added a bunch of stuff there, and then git commit. And then let's do git push origin master. So now we've actually pushed our website to GitHub, and you'll see here that a deployment has actually been triggered instantly before I could even switch to it directly to Windows Azure websites. And what I was mentioning earlier where you could have that deployment script, I didn't set that up, but here's where we could have a deployment script that actually ran, say, some tests or things like that to make sure it was a good deployment.
Have we got hooks to run pre and post?
I believe it's only a pre-deployment. Okay. I'm actually... That's a good question.
Yeah.
No, I think it's just before deployment because, post. I guess post could be useful in some things like setting after the deployment succeeded. Maybe doing a, I don't know. I mean, database migrations kind of can be done through through the publishing process. Mm-hmm. I could see setting up some resources after the site was successfully deployed. The problem is though, post deployment is the site's already public.
Yeah.
So if there was stuff that you're if your deployment succeeded that was required, like you would want to do those before deployment. Otherwise, your site would be accessible, and then like maybe something's not set up. So, but I certainly see where
I think you can still hook things in there.
Yeah. So while that's deploying, there's one other thing we need to do. So our Facebook URL was set to point locally. Since we're deploying it to the cloud, we actually need to change that. So one thing to note is I didn't change the actual app ID or app secret we're using. A lot of times in practice, it's common to actually use multiple Facebook apps, like for, say, a Facebook local app, a Facebook dev app, and a production app. And you could use web config transforms. Release transform to actually change these settings. I didn't do that. So what I'm going to do is actually just update the Facebook app I deployed to point to our cloud service that actually should be deployed at this point. So our cloud service is at cloudcovertest.azurewebsites.net. And then we're going to do the same thing. HTTPS. So Windows Azure Websites, you may remember, has a wildcard SSL certificate, and it's actually valid, so we shouldn't get that error message. So I'm going to save our app. All right, so after that's saved, let's go actually to our application. So back to apps.facebook.com/cloudcovertest. And so now you can see the app is actually running in Windows Azure really easily using our new Git deployment linked up to our private cloud cover test repository and deploying using continuous integration through Windows Azure website. So really easy to set up. And now, you know, in just a couple minutes, we have a Facebook app set up. So definitely, you know, give it a try. And actually, since I do the work, write and work on the Facebook C# SDK, I'd be particularly interested to see if people have any feedback or questions on this. So, so yeah, some pretty cool stuff. We didn't really have time to get to do a demo of the CLI tools, but like we talked about, you could do a deployment script that ran some tests and things like that.
Maybe we can show that next time.
Yeah, perfect.
Awesome.
All right. Well,
and with that, I guess I'm in the...
You're in the driver's seat now.
So that's the end of Cloud Cover for today, so thank you for watching. And I'd love to have you on as a guest again.
Very good. Thank you very much. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at Cloud Cover Show, and also like us on Facebook. We've got, I think, like 30 or 40 people right now. So click the link down there. Like us. We just post the episodes and stuff. We're just trying to build, I don't know, we're going to spam. We're going to eventually sell your advert. No, I'm just kidding. We're going to spam you and stuff. No, but just another way to stay connected with Cloud Cover. So,
okay.
So perfect. All right.
Cool. Thank you.
Thank you.